What a beautiful day. It's always beautiful in the word of God, isn't it? Or should be. Anyway, hey, we're in lesson 11 and a contrast of the word of God. And what we're going to be looking at today is contrast between physical and spiritual baptism and the contrast is spiritual baptism today. This is a big controversy in a lot of realms out there as far as baptism and all. So, you know, is it physical? Is it spiritual? Is it not spiritual? Is it all physical? So be turning to Exodus 29. Exodus 29, Israel's program. When we look at the contrast of the Word of God, we have to rightly divide the Word of truth. And when you rightly divide the Word of truth, you understand there's two programs in God's Word, right? The prophetic program and the mystery program. And when you talk to people about the mystery program, they look at you like, what Bible are you using? What are you talking about? It's nothing mysterical. It's mystery was something kept secret before the world began. So Exodus 29, when we're looking at Israel's program, you know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. God made a distinction between the heaven and the earth. And the earth's program, as we've finding out so far, that God is using the nation Israel to use as a vehicle on the earth, and then for the mystery program, the heavenly program, he's using the body of Christ. I will have to share this with you right quick. I had some dental work done. Had a bridge pop out. I was chewing gummy bears, and it was just like sticky stick, and it pulled the bridge out. So I had to wait a couple weeks to get it done. So I went back to the dentist, and this guy, I've never seen him before, probably about 10, 20 years older than I am. He said, I'm just filling in, you know, and he's looking at the equipment there, and he's not too familiar with the technology that they use today. So I looked at him. I said, are you a tooth-pulling doctor? He said, no, I don't pull teeth no more. I don't do this, do that. I'm just helping out. Well, he started asking me where I was from and all that stuff, and I told him why we moved up here, and we got a church called Dispensation Bible Church. He says, dispensation? I've never heard that word before. And so I got the chance to share with him when he didn't have nothing in my mouth, you know, as far as, because usually dentists, they're good about asking your questions about the time you want to talk. You got your mouth full. But he listened to what I had to say. I said, now, if you got the right Bible, it's in there four times. It's a God-breathed word. And I got the chance to share what dispensational means. Well, he got on and told me at the end. He stuck around. He wanted no more. So I gave him one of our cards where he can follow along. And started showing me his reading list. Okay? Have you ever heard of this guy? Have you ever listened to it? Have you ever read this guy? And he went down. I mean, he, like 15 minutes later, he's still talking about the reading list that he goes through the Bible. And but the thing is, he was reading books about the book, but he wasn't reading a book. He got to all the book of Psalms. Oh, well, that don't matter. You know, like that. And I was like, okay, I know where he's at. People searching, but they want to find a man that they can identify with. And a lot of people he's referring to has no idea what dispensation of truth is. You know, I'm sorry, but they don't. Once again, everybody is a dispensationalist to one degree or other. Everybody is. And we always share the fact that when you open up your drawer, you put your spoons in this slot, knives, forks, plates, and you look at it. When you read your newspaper, you read it as you don't go to sports section to find the funny papers. Now, you might go to funny papers to read about the politics, but needless to say, you don't do that. Right? So we rightly divide everything we do in our life. But when it comes to the Word of God and you understand what God is doing through the nation Israel, this is what I shared with them. A lot of people gets confused like, you know, what are you talking about? Because what does religion do? They try to make you part of Israel's program. They try to say the body of Christ is replacing the kingdom program. Therefore, you're part of the Israel's program. And you're shaking your head no, because you know what the Word of God says. We are thankful that God's word is with us. We're thankful that we have it in our possession. So I told you to turn to Exodus 29. Exodus 29, we're talking about physical and spiritual baptism. And first contrast we're looking at is nation Israel. Chapter 29, Exodus 29, starting verse 1. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest office. Now, what office?
Priest.
What do you know about the nation Israel? They're supposed to be a kingdom of priests. Thank you. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil, of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in one basket with a bulwark and two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacles of the congregation, and shall wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put on Aaron the coat, and the robe of the ephod, and the ephod, and the breastplate, and to girt him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and what? So here's a washing, here's a cleansing for the nation Israel, the priest, okay? Now, how many tribes were there in the nation Israel? And who's the tribe that Aaron came from? Who's the tribe that God ordained?
Levi.
Okay, Levi. So they're going to minister the priesthood, okay? Now, go to Leviticus chapter 8, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 8. And this is still about the priest, okay? And basically 1 through 5 says the same thing that we just read, and verse 5 says, "And Moses said in the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done." Verse 6, "And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with what?
Water.
Okay, here's the cleansing coming in. In order to be a priest, you had to be cleansed. Verse 10, "And Moses took the anointing oil, anointed the tabernacle with all that was therein, and sanctified them." Verse 12. "And he poured the anointing oil upon the Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him." Go down to verse 30. "And Moses took the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar, and sprinkled it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon his sons' garments with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments, and his sons' garments with him." What are they doing here?
Setting apart.
They're sanctifying them for the ministry. So it's not only water, it's oil. Not only it's oil, it's what? Blood. So you know what the oil signifies in the Bible, the Holy Spirit, right? So this is what's going on here. It's a spiritual and a physical. Matthew chapter 3. All through there, Matthew chapter 3. Now, what do you know about the book of Matthew? King, he's king, the kingdom. Also, it's also, are you saying the New Testament or Old Testament? It's still the Old Testament, because what's going on here is the Lord Jesus Christ is going to identify himself with this ministry. Chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1 says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the mouth by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and leather girdled about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw that many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the what? The wrath to come. So here's baptism is going to be a part of this program, and John the Baptist is a part of this priesthood, and anybody's coming out there to be baptized of him is going to be identified with John's ministry. That's where you get the little flock at. That's where you get the kingdom's people. Big controversy out there in the religious world when you talk about baptism. You see it all over the internet. You see it all over. You witness it yourself. And we'll get to Romans 6 in a little bit about, you know, placing you into the watery grave. It's an identification. Well, I have my own opinion about that, but we'll see what God's Word says in a little bit. But the thing is, if you're going to say this is a watery grave, when you put yourself on the cross? You know what I mean? Everybody wants to follow Jesus in believer's baptism. What about the crucifixion? Oh, that's spiritual. And next lesson, we'll talk about circumcision. So, you know, this type of thing, it's real. But chapter 28, Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the, how many disciples? 11. Only, okay? Went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, that's kingdom, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, ghosts, teaching them, who's them? Who's he talking to up there, verse 16? The 11. To observe all things whosoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, you got to remember, when he teach all nations, they was not to be reckoned with the nations. So something's changing here, but what's the deal is? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Everybody jumps on that, right? Except Pentecostal people. You got Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11. Where's Paul at here? Where's Judas at? He's not there either, is he? So they haven't replaced the 12th one yet. That happens in Acts, right? And he sat at meat and upbraided them and with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Listen, he was with these people 3.5 years. And he upbraided them. You know, he's like, you're unbelief. That happens today. Believe it or not, you know, people, well, if they don't see it, they don't believe it, right? But it takes more faith to believe God's word, things unseen, than what it is seen, right? Verse 15, and he said unto them, who's them there? See, in my Bible, it's okay to write in if you got the right pen, okay? But the thing is, if you don't have the right pen, you write in pencil. But around that them, I've got parentheses, and above it, I've got 11. Because that's who he's talking to. See, because them would say, hey, he's talking to us. No, he's not. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, what gospel is that? Where are we at? The gospel of the kingdom. Amen. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's what the Baptists say. Then you have, and these signs shall follow them that believe. This is what Church of God says. And in my name thou shalt cast out devils, and shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know who says that? We're charismatic. Yeah, charismatic people, okay? So here it is again. This is a physical and spiritual deal here. You did it. Israel's supposed to do it. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Many of you know that Peter's standing up. It says, verse 22, ye men of Israel. And he talks about them at Pentecost. He says, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's no cross work there. But what is the means of baptism? Water, right? You got to repent. You got to be identified with Peter's ministry in order to go through the little flock. So it's just not, when you talk about baptism sometimes, well, I better slow down a little bit. Go to 238. Hold your finger there in Acts. Well, good. Get Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 23 says, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profound among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you, who's the you? It's Israel, yes. Out of all the countries, and will bring unto you you into your own land. Now, has that happened yet? Oh, 1948. Who's going to do this? This is where you got to say, who's the I? The Lord, the big Lord. He's going to take them out of there. Man ain't got nothing to do with that. But if you know prophetic preachers and stuff, they was all over President Truman saying, this is what's happening. You need to be a part of this. Because he's telling you, we got to put Israel in the land. But who's going to do this? And where's he going to gather them at? Out of the heathen. That takes place over here. That ain't in the butt now. Verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Who's to you? And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. A new heart also I will give you, that's Israel, and a new spirit will I put in within you, Israel, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. This is a spiritual and physical condition that Israel is going to do. Has that happened? Has that taken place yet? No. No. And a lot of people won't see that, and a lot of people won't identify with that. Go to Acts chapter 3. Get Acts chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 3. Get Matthew chapter 3 first. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. You know, we read down to the verse 7 last time. Pick up verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits meats of repentance. He's looking at those Pharisees and Sadducees, when we looked at it earlier, John the Baptist is, and he's telling them what? Bring forth fruits. And think not to say unto yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able to of these stones to rise up children to Abraham. Everybody claims Abraham. Islamic Muslims, Islamic people, Abraham. Christian people, Abraham. Jewish people, Abraham. And he's looking at them, don't say you got Abraham your father. He knew that that was their father. But he says also, and now also the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. Therefore, with every tree which bringeth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the water. That's an unbelief, people over here. He said, the axe is in my hand. I'm coming and chop it down. That's the same way over here when God was going to cut the fig tree down, and he said, Lord, let us dung it and give us 1 year to produce fruit. If not, cut it down. 1 year in the book of Acts, did they produce fruit the way God wanted them to produce fruit? You're shaking your head, no. So what, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. Whose fan is in the hand, and he will thoroughly plunge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That is yet to come over there. He baptized them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That fire is going to burn you to fare thee well. You're not going to get in water to hide like the swine and Satan's followers. That's why the gap, it's not a theory, it's a fact. When God flooded the universe, where did all the demonic followers of Satan go? Yeah, they went in water. Didn't bother them. The flood, Noah's flood, flooded the whole earth. Where did they go? There was giants before and giants afterward. Where did they go? They went in the water. Water didn't hurt them. Next time, what did God say? I will not flood the earth again, right? He's going to burn it. And they ain't got nowhere to go. They're going to burn it. So you got to keep that in mind. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Water does not save you today. It gets you wet. Acts chapter 1. Verse 4 saying, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water. We just read that, right? But he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many day, what? Hence. Verse 6 says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of what? There's no mystery here. And this is a literal, physical kingdom that they're asking for. It's not a spiritual kingdom. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto other parts of the what? Earth. John the Baptist and the 12 were sent to baptize, to be a part of that kingdom priest, and that's a spiritual and physical baptism. Okay? Because there are physical beings on this earth. Now, the contrast of this, be turning to Romans chapter 6. We talk about the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a part of a spiritual entity. Body of Christ, but can we see each other? Yeah. We can talk, we can walk, we can do all that. But our positions is in the heavenly places. So when you look up there in the sky right now, you see the blue sky, that's the first heaven. The stars is the second heaven. The third heaven is where God is, the throne. When you look at the first and second heaven, you really can't see nothing up there but stars. Now, every once in a while, you might say, hey, I saw a spaceship. Or I see this. And I see people flying around and all that. And people say all kinds of things. You know that. You can sit there and look at clouds sometime and you see a doughboy. And you see a pizza pie. And you see an ice cream cone. You know, you imagine all kinds of stuff. But there are spiritual places up there and spiritual witnesses in high places that God is going to use the body of Christ for. Many of you know that. But our baptism that Paul talks about is something different. Now, was Paul baptized? We'll look at that in a few minutes. But Romans chapter 6, what do you know about Romans? It's a book of what? Doctrine for the body of Christ. And the first five books of... When you talk to people about, it seems like I'm doing 105 mile an hour, but the thing is, when you talk to people about their salvation, you get them to read the first five books of Romans. That's about justification. It's forever settled. When Paul talks about all those things we were, ungodly and all that stuff, he never brings that back up again. Who brings that up? We do. But I just don't feel saved. Well, you are if you believe it. You know, we talked about flesh all the time, and my wife does, and we can identify where we're at in a heartbeat. The things we do, the things we say, the things we don't do, the things we don't say, it's all flesh sometimes. But we know who we are in Christ. Okay? And you're not going to take that away from us. That's a blessing. But first five chapters in Romans is justification. Chapter 6, 7, and 8. 6, you're dead to sin. 7, you're dead to the law. 8, you're dead to the flesh. Okay? That's sanctification. That's how we find out how we set ourselves apart. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that were dead to sin live any longer thereof? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized in his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. For if we were planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in his likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve what? Sin. So look. Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism of death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. For if we were planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. What's that saying there? Well, every time when you're identifying with Jesus Christ spiritually, you was not there when he died. You was not there when he was buried. You was not there when he was resurrected. But people will say today that you got to do this, follow Jesus in believer's baptism. And they say this is his death. This is his burial. And this is his resurrection. Who's bringing you up? You know, if you go down, go down. You know, Hank Williams Sr. song talks about going down to the river. He's going to find one cold as ice because he's miserable. He says, when I go down the river, Lord, I'm going to pay the price. I'm going down three times, but Lord, I'm only coming up twice. He's going down himself, you know what I mean? He's tired. He's going to die. He's going in the water. But when what the beauty about spiritual baptism is, and many of you know people that been spiritual baptized but never been water baptized, and you should never down them for that. You know, our kids are that way. You know, our kids know who they are in Jesus Christ. They're saved, sanctified, and they'll tell you, I've been spiritual baptized. I've never been water baptized. And some of the friends are like, what? You know what I mean? My wife tell you how many times she's been baptized. You know, I know one of my brothers, one time I think every church he joined, he was baptized again. You know, some say it's not for salvation, but it's church membership. Some say it's identification. Listen, that water baptism, if you know anything of what we're talking about, has to do with the nation Israel. But beauty about spiritual baptism, when you're buried in his likeness, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, that became our identification. We identified with his death. And when he was buried in that ground, we identified with his burial. When he was rose again, we rose again in his identification. See, that's the likeness. That's all that matters. But I watch some friends all the time do that, and I'm like, oh, man, they take Romans 6 out of context. That ain't got nothing to do with physical. No, it don't. That's what we're talking about. Paul never tells you to physical baptize anybody. Okay? This has to do with identification. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? When was you there? Let me ask you something. Hold your finger there. What's the first baptism of your Bible? This would be a good one. Where were you? Who was the first one to get baptized? Who was the first, what was the first account of baptism in your Bible? Okay, you say Jesus, you say Moses. You say the beginning, in the beginning. You got an idea?
Probably Israel baptized in the cloud.
Okay, hold your finger there and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The first record of baptism, Paul talks about it. Imagine that. Of all people. You know? And chapter 10. Israel's in the wilderness and an example of this. Chapter 10, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be what? Ignorant. What does ignorant mean? Not knowing, okay, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat. Now, let me ask you something. Who got wet? It wasn't anybody with Moses. And I'm telling you something else. It was just not Israelites that left with Moses. There was all kinds of people left with Moses out of Egypt. It wasn't. It was Gentile, because when you study what they was doing, they was going out this way, walking through the wilderness, and the other people was doing this, and they were still whoring around with their other gods. That's why Israel would jump across when Moses was up there. How else would they talk about sacrifices and stuff? So just to anybody, it just wasn't Israelites that left there. That's why he says all our fathers. Corinthians was a Gentile church. You know that. But this is why it's very, very important to understand that baptism means to be placed into, to be identified with. And if you use that, no matter where it's at in your Bible, you're going to see it don't mean water. You have to force it to mean water. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. But that right there, what I just showed you, is the first account of baptism in the Bible. Because didn't they do this before God gave them the law? Isn't this before we read in Exodus and Leviticus about anointing Aaron in the priesthood? So when you identify with Moses, this right here, you're baptized into Moses. So when you look at Romans 6, you're baptized into Jesus. And it's all spiritual. Next week, when we look at circumcision, you're going to see who does the circumcision. You know there's a physical circumcision when you know there's a spiritual circumcision. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father, and the Father of all, who is above all and through all, in you all. There's seven ones there. What does seven mean? Perfection. Completion. But see that one baptism? You should have that underlined, and outside it go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. What do we find out? Was it last lesson talking about one, the numbers? 12 associated with who?
Israel.
And one associated with who? The body of Christ. And he says, verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we Jew or Gentile, whether we bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, is that a physical or is it spiritual? Okay. That's what matters today in the body of Christ. That's why Paul is identifying us with Christ in a spiritual aspect. We don't identify with Christ or Israel in a physical aspect. That's why every time when you see people do that, you first thing pops up in my mind is like, oh, you're in the priesthood now. That's what that identification was back there, physical water baptism. Here, if it's spiritual, God's doing it. And why can't we just say, God, you did it? That settles it. A lot of times when we talk about the Word of God, we say, God said it. That settles it. It's not like you said it, I said it. God said it. Let the words mean what they say and say what they mean. That's tough when you come to this world, when you talk to, you know, you just let your words mean what they say. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 22 says, but the scriptures have concluded all under sin that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith is come, we are no longer under what? A schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, how are we children of God? What do you got your faith in today? A church building? Faith in who? We're children of God by the faith in Christ. Verse 27. For as many of you has been baptized into Christ have put on what? Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, are you in Christ today? How are you in Christ today? See, He puts you in there. Did you feel anything? I mean, you know, when you get physical baptized, a physical circumcision, you're going to feel something. And, you know, people talk about it like that. I just don't feel like I'm saved. Well, I've got an 18-wheeler out there. I can hit you and make you feel like you feel something. You know, I'm saying, you know, people want to feel something. They got to have that physical feelness. That's why they feel like they did something. And, you know, like I said before, there's all kinds of churches over out there that's got all kinds of beliefs and all kinds of ideas. How do you get in Christ? That's why if you don't study the Word of God right and divide it, you'll be in that situation. And I'd be willing to bet, if I was a betting man, that we was all that was in that situation one time. You go to Independent Baptist, you go to Free Will Baptist, you go to this Baptist, you go to Southern Baptist, you go to everybody's got Baptist in their name now. Everybody's got grace in their churches now, and everybody got Bible. And Satan can play some tricks on you. And as long as you can feel like you can do something for God, you're right there at it. But I'm telling you, as someone that can know what performance is all about, God did this for us spiritually, and that's all that matters. And if you can just settle that in your mind, and when you talk to somebody about who Jesus Christ is, and you see them go from death to life, they went from death into Jesus Christ. How? By faith, spiritually. And you show them that, oh, see, also you're baptized. He's circumcised. Next week we're going to look at circumcision and where He circumcises us. It's not by the flesh of hands, but by the operation of who? God. If God did the circumcision, why don't He do the baptism? See, I got these questions out there that just trick some of these preachers out there, like if it's okay to be circumcised spiritually, preacher, you ain't putting your hands on me, but you got to do it physically, baptism, something's wrong. So, listen, the reason they got Baptist in their name is because of John the Baptist, right? You know who John the Baptist was? He was a Jew, a priest, that never spent one day in the dispensation of grace and got his head cut off. So that's who you're going after? That's who you're part of? You best be part of what God is doing. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Best be doing what God's doing in the dispensation of grace. And look, you can be confused, right? You can be wrong. You can be sincerely wrong. But you don't want to stand in front of God and say, God, I didn't know. And he's like, huh, yes, you did know. You choose to ignore it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is always a big one because of what Paul is saying to the Corinthians here. And they had some divisions among them, right? He says, verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but there be that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. That same mind, same judgment, Romans 16, 17. And the thing is this, there be no divisions among you. Wouldn't that be glory? Same thing. Everybody out there, doesn't matter if you got a church right next door to you speaking the same thing. That would be awesome. We'd be all in probably one building and all that stuff, but that don't happen. Are they speaking the same thing out there, guys? Then he talks about down through there. He says, now I say that every one of you saith, I am a Paul, and I am Apollos, and I am Cephas, and I am a Christ. Is Christ divided? What's the answer there? Was Christ, was Paul crucified for you? Were you all baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. I have baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. He names the people he baptized there. And you know the fact that Acts 19, where he writes the book, he's in Ephesus. He meets 12 disciples there. And he asked them, he heard about the Holy Spirit. He goes, we don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. He goes, well, who was you baptized of? And they said, John's Baptist. Who's John's baptism? Yes. They didn't know no Holy Spirit. He says, when he told them that John said, verily believe on the one that come after him, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And so he would have said, oh, yeah, by the way, I know not whether I baptize any other except those 12 disciples over in Ephesus. I forgot about them. He don't say that because he didn't baptize them. A Baptist would say Paul was a baptizer and he rebaptized those people. He did. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ shall be made none effect. Christ did not send Paul to baptize, but he did. Can't get around it. But he names the people who done it. And I know people out there says, well, see, Paul was too busy, and he had other people baptized for him. Now, he did have 7 deacons. Peter and them had 7 deacons. Find me 7 men of good rapport, okay? There ain't nothing wrong with that having help in the church. For the preaching, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. You want to know what power is? You preach the cross. You preach the cross. And he says, verse 21, after that the wisdom of God, The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to them to save them that believe. Listen, as foolishness as the world is out there about spiritual baptism or physical baptism, as foolish as the world is out there, and you know what I'm talking about, there's foolishness out there, what's going on out there. Preaching the cross saves them. Me and my wife was talking about there's people searching out there. They're searching, they're looking for answers. It might just be one out of five, might be two out of ten, but there's people out there searching. For the Greeks, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. That's our message. And if you can preach Christ crucified, you can show them that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. They identify with that, and he saved you, sealed you, and sanctified you. He baptized you spiritually, and that's all that matters today. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. As we think about this subject alone, how important it is to know that you had what Israel is doing and what the body of Christ is doing, and we thank you for the word of God rightly divided. In his name we pray. Amen.